It's time for the Biblical Worldview Question of the Week on Moody Radio. Nancy Fitzgerald is back from Anchors Away, based in Carmel. It's a worldview ministry where they work with young people, high school, college age, teach them about biblical worldview so that when they go away to college, and we say this every week, Nancy, but it's true, once they leave their youth groups, once they leave home, go to college, their faith is going to be tested, and sometimes severely. So we want to equip them that they can stand firm in their faith, and this is why we do the Biblical Worldview Question of the Week every week. So, I don't understand why my friends get mad at me for saying that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Why?
Yes, and this is a huge issue for all of us today that we talk about this. One of the challenges that today's generation is facing is what we call the new tolerance. And D.A. Carson says tolerance has changed from accepting that people have different views, some of which are wrong. It's changed to agreeing and forcing all of us to agree that all views are equally true. And if you think about this for a minute, it should make no sense. You know, someone might say religions, all religions, many religions lead to God. There is no one religion. Or what is true for me must be, should be, and must be true for you. And for a person to express a different opinion or disagree, this generation, typically the Generation Z, would label them as a bigot or somebody that's judgmental, and even bring in this racial thing on the most incredible ways. And, you know, we fight this. We see this in the news. We see it in schools. We see it at the workplace and families, and especially in politics. This idea that you must agree with me, and if not, you're a crazy person or you're mad or whatever. And this is something that we've all seen. The question is, you know, what do we do with this?
Well, Nancy, you know, it seems to me that we have lost the ability to have civil discourse amongst one another. And it leads me to this question of what does it really make? What difference does it make if all people have to always agree about a topic?
Yes. And the old view of tolerance, it says truth can be known, that there is universal truth, and that disagreements and dialogues and debates will give everybody the opportunity to learn and to grow and to change and, you know, to change the way we're thinking and consider other avenues of on different topics. But this new definition that's there now is that no truth can be known. This is where we call them the post-truth generation, that there are no spiritual or moral absolutes, and there is never a need for debate because everybody is always right. And if you think about this, it's insanity. A definition for the new tolerance is insanity. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't. Can you imagine, Steve, that people can do whatever they want and they can drive 100 miles an hour through a school zone when schools, you know, and think it's okay?
Yeah.
And a policeman pulls them over and they get mad at the policeman because they don't agree with them that that's okay. I mean, it gets, if you take it to its end, I can take what's not mine because I think we should all share equally.
Yeah.
Until it happens to them. Mm-hmm. And the hypocrisy in this whole issue is outrageous. Proverbs 18:2, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion.
Okay, so agreeability then. What is agreeability really?
Well, in this generation, not all, everybody that is this age, but in this modern generation, their highest value is agreeability. You know, when a person's value or power is threatened by disagreement or debate, the response is to gather a mob and throw stones. And it's crazy because total conformity will never happen to human beings who have been created in the image of God. We are created to think, to make choices, to challenge one another, to keep each other accountable. You know, we are all born with a conscience. We're not designed to always agree on everything. And I just want to add something here with this gender thing that's going on.
Yes.
I don't know what y'all, I have a very strong idea of what you all think about it, but for listeners, just to think of what this has led to, this generation is obsessed with gender. If they want to be a girl, if a guy wants to be a girl and goes in and tells his people that he comes, you have to call me a girl. If not, I hate you. And you are a bigot if you don't. You are a bad person if you don't. It's like throwing stones. If people don't condescend to something that scientifically is absurd. But they're doing it. There's a girl at the University of Washington who wanted to be identified as a whale. Yes, the whale. And so she registered as a whale. And it's gotten to that. And it's gotten so bad that parents are allowing 10-year-olds to decide what they want to be and then have surgery for it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go into that, but it's interesting that almost half of those with gender changes will end up killing themselves. But this thing is so far out of control. And I think the Christians have got to stand up and say no, sorry.
Well, we can't refute the science of yes. our physical makeup, right? We can use the belly button in analogy. If you're born any or an outie, right? You're a girl or a boy. You cannot refute that. God has created you. You are birthed in a physical body, and you have specific attributes. But we choose, and we can choose, obviously, to deny that. Which I think ultimately is an affront to God, to deny that, just as it is to deny our role in a covenant relationship, in a marriage, or to deny our role as a follower of Christ. That's an affront to God. So then this leads me to this question, though, of what about that generation, those who are really leading the charge on this free thought and you know, it's my choice to identify anything. Is there any hope for that generation? Or is this the tip of a really, really scary downturn in humanity?
It's the tip of a very scary downturn in humanity. There's no question about it. And we don't want to play the game here of blame, but church, what are you doing? Why are you not talking about this?
Yeah.
Why do you run from the really issues that are so relevant for today and engage people in conversation with this, not to make them feel like fools, to remind them whose they are and who they are, creating the image of God, wonderfully and beautifully made, male and female.
I think fear takes a huge role in this. Yeah. You know, you just say, you ask the question, church, where are you? And immediately I'm struck with the thought of Stephen, who was stoned to death for preaching. Okay, but we allow, as Western Church, we allow certain things to get in the way. I don't want to offend you because I have X number of people in my church and I rely on X number of dollars that come in order for me to continue operating and to preach this gospel and to share that, and therefore I need to grow and incorporate and bring more people into the fold. Well, ultimately, those who are shepherding will be called to judgment, and we are called to a higher standard than those who are there that are being taught that word. And so there is a worldly concept that has crept into the church that it's just fear. So totally. We see these splits. Totally. Most recently, we saw a major denomination just pair off again And you go back and look at the, you know, look at the church history chart as to where, you know, Protestantism began, the Great Schism, and you have to understand now we have all of these fine branches that are being formed, and we're calling it a church, but it's just because I have this tiny set of beliefs. That's not God's doctrine. That's not his theology. God is who he says he is. His word is unchanging, as is he. We are the ones who are supposed to be dealing with that and following it. And I cannot just choose to say, today I'm Stephanie. He's not going to honor that.
Well, absolutely. And you make so many good points there. But I kind of look at it like this, only because our ministry deals with training people to teach teens. I wouldn't be doing this if it were hopeless, if we weren't seeing amazing results.
Yes.
Because, first of all, not everybody embraces this. But Facebook has become so wildly crazy. And we're seeing through the politics this bullying, this bullying. It's just simple bullying. Mm-hmm. And we call it out in one point and embrace it in the other, which drives me crazy. But I look at society, I'll kind of like, you know, just veneer. It's a veneer. And it looks to the kids like it's a giant block of wood, and the truth is it's a veneer, because underneath in their soul they know this is not right.
Yeah.
And some of them are wildly lost, but the good news again about this generation is that in spite of what they will tell you, 75% of them want to be mentored. The majority of them want to know God and want to live a good life. So the question is, the key to breaking through to this generation is to develop a non-confrontational relationships with them, to embrace them, not be afraid of it, like I see the church. Christians, let's find these kids, go out and have coffee with them, don't preach to them, but rather get to know them, ask them about their opinion of God. They'll like that word opinion, and then ask them how that's working for them, essentially, because this is what we know. They are anxious, they're fearful, they're intimidated, and they're trapped, they're caught. But the bigger deal is that we have to, as a church, get our stuff together. Mm. And evangelism has got to be based on truth. We, you know, we cannot be men and women who are Christians and don't know what we believe and aren't living it out. But number one, speaking it out. If ever there's a time where we have got to speak up and say it is true, there is truth, and there's hope for you, let's walk through this. This is really who you are, and I'm going to help you get to wherever you want to go. But because we can't defend our faith, because when kids ask, you know, it's interesting, in another article I was reading, this culture wants to know about science and how it matches up with the Bible. There you go. It's one of their questions. And I think the question we ask ourselves is, can I speak to this? And I think we just need to be better students of a biblical worldview. And this is what we do. You know, 1 Peter 3:15, I think of it all the time. You know, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always, check this out, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that's in you, and do this with gentleness and respect. But to everyone who asks, and this is why, you know, we've been doing this for a long time, and if you've been listening, I never push our own stuff. But we have written a series called Unanswered, Smoke, Mirrors, and God. It's a small group curriculum. It has a book and a study guide and a video that goes with it. But it was written for this generation whose majority are looking for answers. Like, who am I? What's my purpose? Why is the world such a mess? What hope do I have? What happens when I die? These are questions all of us need to have answers for.
Yes.
kids are killing themselves. Mm-hmm. They're looking for hope. And it's not easy parenting. We have to be there. And we have to be students, Bereans of the word, now more than ever, mm-hmm. more than ever before. We're called to parent. We're called to disciple. And don't be fooled by this stuff. Satan is behind it, pushing it. Mm. But he doesn't have any power. He lost that battle at the cross. You know, as Christians mm-hmm. need to understand it and call it out. So, there's hope. Is there hope? You bet. There's hope. But Christians, let's get together. Let's encourage our churches to start talking about this in a way that young people need to understand they're created and how we know they're created and how wonderfully and marvelously they're made.
Well, yeah, and keep praying for them. Pray for youth pastors. I can't even imagine trying to be a youth pastor with the culture the way it is.
Yeah.
There is so much mess to deal with. But, Nancy, this has been a great discussion again today. And for you listening, we want to point you in the direction of Nancy's ministry, anchorsaway.org. You can learn more about biblical worldview there, the classes that are being offered. Take a look at the curriculum. Consider offering that in your church. You can also connect with Nancy. You can find that ministry located on our page online, too, if that's easier to remember. Just click on the resources tab at kellyandsteve.org.